President Trump has repeatedly talked about declaring an emergency at the country's southern border, which would allow him to allocate money to build a wall there without needing Congress's approval. Several Senate Republicans have said they would not support that move. They have warned the president not to do it. Our co-host Mark Brody caught up with Chris Edelson via Skype to talk more about what an emergency declaration actually means and how it works. He's an assistant professor of government at American University, where he focuses on presidential power under the Constitution. And Mark started the conversation by asking Chris what kinds of things presidents have used this type of declaration for in the past.
Recently, it's been things like health problems like the H1N1 virus, the Iran hostage crisis in 1979, 9/11. After 9/11, there was a declaration of emergency. Longer ago, President Truman declared an emergency to take control of steel factories during the Korean War. Roosevelt used it to declare a bank holiday during the Depression.
Were any of those at the time seen as controversial as what President Trump is talking about doing here?
Yes. I would say the Truman Declaration is one of the most controversial historically. When he took this action, there is now a law on the books that provides some framework for declaring national emergencies and for ending them. In 1952, when Truman declared his, that law didn't exist. So his action was challenged in the courts, where the Supreme Court rejected his effort. He claimed that during an emergency, there was going to be a strike at steel factories in the United States. He claimed that because of this, he could declare an emergency and take control of the steel factories. The Supreme Court said no, he couldn't do that without Congress. In 1976, Congress passed a law that was meant to provide that kind of framework. Unfortunately, it hasn't worked very well in practice.
Well, so if President Trump decides to go ahead and declare a national emergency, to what extent does Congress get to weigh in or have to weigh in?
It's supposed to weigh in at the latest within 6 months. I say supposed because that's what the law says. But in the 42, 43 years now that the law has been on the books, Congress has not done that once. Congress, unfortunately, has not met its responsibilities under the law. The law was designed to put limits on presidential power to declare emergencies, but it hasn't functioned that way. Presidents have been able to declare emergencies at their discretion. However, this time might be different. In the past four decades, when presidents have declared emergencies, it hasn't been that controversial. 9/11 really was an emergency. The hostage crisis was an emergency. This time, there's indications that even members of the president's own party don't see this as a real emergency. If that's the case, Congress could immediately, if it chose to do so, pass legislation rejecting the president's declaration of an emergency. If it did that, the president could then veto that legislation, and Congress could override it if it chose to do so. It's also possible the action could be challenged in the courts.
So you mentioned that there might be a role for the courts as well. Is this the kind of thing that individual legislators might sue over, or would this be something that individual citizens or other advocacy groups would have to sue over?
That's a good question. There's always a question of standing, which basically means you can't just go to court and claim that an issue affects you. You have to show it personally hurt you in some way. So it's not clear who would have standing to challenge this, possibly members of Congress, more likely individuals affected. What I mean by that is, let's say the president moves ahead with this emergency and begins constructing portions of a wall on the southern border. People would be affected by that, presumably, depending how it's done. If private citizens were affected, they could bring lawsuits and they could challenge the president's actions. That's basically what happened before in the 1952 case where President Truman declared an emergency, took control of steel factories. Steel factory owners didn't like it and brought a challenge in court. Depending on exactly how this moves ahead, that could happen again. There could be a similar kind of challenge.
How would that affect, in this case, the actual beginning of building the wall? I mean, would the administration be able to do that while a resolution of disapproval is pending or while a court case is pending?
Perhaps it would depend on. So I guess, and this is all speculative, of course. We don't know for sure that he'll declare an emergency. We don't know for sure if Congress will allow it to go ahead. But let's assume he does. Let's assume he declares an emergency, and let's assume Congress doesn't block it. And let's assume someone is able to bring a lawsuit and does. What happens at that point is the court, the federal court where the case would begin, a federal district court most likely, would have to decide whether these circumstances justified an injunction.
Does a president have to show any evidence or show the reason that he's declaring an emergency, or can they just declare it for whatever reason they decide and then basically dare Congress or the courts to challenge them?
That's an excellent question. It really gets to the heart of what I think and other people who study this law think is the problem with the law. The law was designed in 1976 because Congress said, hey, presidents have been declaring emergencies before and they've done whatever they want and the emergencies last forever. Let's put some order on this. Let's make sure they can't do whatever they want. Unfortunately, in drafting the law, Congress did not define what an emergency is. It leaves it up to the president to define it. So it depends on the kind of good faith of a president. If a president only declares an emergency when there really is one, then the law sort of works. However, if you get a president who is willing to declare a phony emergency, a contrived emergency, then the law really gets challenged. A court doesn't really have any grounds for evaluating a presidential declaration of emergency. I really think the people who are best positioned to do so are members of Congress. Of course, their track record's been really bad here. They haven't, not only have they not rejected a single presidential declaration of emergency since the law was passed in 1976, they haven't even held a vote as required by the statute.
All right. That's Chris Edelson, an assistant professor of government at American University, where he studies presidential power under the Constitution. Chris, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Good talking to you. Thank you very much.